us to ignorance and confusion. Three men arose from humble beginnings with a message of wisdom and hope for their troubled times. Three men who would eventually change the very face of humanity. But they didn't expect the Spanish Inquisition. So, here are some other guys.
It's Song Talk Radio with Bruce, Neil, and Phil.
Welcome to Song Talk Radio with Bruce, Neil, and Phil, episode number 235. The show with songwriters talking to other songwriters about Phil dropping his phone on the floor. Oh no, about the craft of songwriting. Brand new songwriters are established professionals. We share tips, tools, and techniques, and together we'll become better at writing songs. I'm your host, Neil Modi, and joining me tonight are the periodically elemental members of the Song Talk Radio Chemical team. We got Bromine Bruce.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Hi. So I'm Neil. I'm really excited about the show tonight. Yes. I've been reading up on modes. Yeah. And most exciting to me is I once had to actually go to the doctor for that. And he put a thing right down my nose. He checked my throat for modes.
No, those are nodes.
Are those nodes?
Those are nodes.
Oh, never mind.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay. Sorry.
Right. And we've got Phosphorus Phil.
Oh, phosphorescent.
Thank you. Yes, yes. So I'm very unstable and can react quickly. I guess that is true.
Oh, there we go.
And handling our social media channels, we got Vanadium Vanessa.
Vanadium? Vanessa?
What's you're going to run out of concepts, by
yeah, one of these days. And putting it all together in a chemically infused compound of sound, we've got Mercury Michael on
hey,
the
Michael.
Soundboard.
Hi, Michael.
Hello.
He's working very hard.
He's working very hard. During the show, send in your comments and questions to at Song Talk Radio on Twitter or Facebook or feedback at songtalk.ca for email, and we'll share your questions with the audience in real time, and I'm sure you're going to have questions tonight.
Oh, yeah.
Please stop by our website, songtalk.ca, find out how you can be a guest on the show. Now, you'd think that just because my last name is Modi that I would know everything there is to know about modes.
No.
Because I'm Modi. But that's not the case. So, tonight we do have Jeff Allen Greenway with us tonight to explain our way through musical modes, what they are, and how to use them in our songs. And Jeff Allen Greenway is a film and TV composer, singer-songwriter, pianist, and teacher from Toronto. His music has been featured in films and on CBC and Canadian radio. Jeff has been playing piano since the age of three.
Three.
Could you even lift the piano at the age of three?
Wow. And, piano?
Must have been. Fisher Price. And writing and singing for almost as long. Well known on the Toronto music scene as both a singer-songwriter and a keyboard player for the last 20 years, he has recently made the switch to orchestral music, composing for film and television. Formally educated at the Royal Conservatory of Music, Humber College, and Berklee in piano, voice, and composition, Jeff has a broad palette of colors that he uses to create his music. His talents has been recognized with a Factor New Talent Award and three honorable mentions in international songwriting competitions. He was also a performer in the longest concert by multiple artists for Guinness World Records last year in Stouffville, Ontario.
How did we get him? We asked.
Jeff has music in several releases this year, including the horror film Snip and the documentary The Secret Life of Frogs, which will be featured on BBC Canada. He has orchestral film music available for licensing in all styles. You can hear some of his songs and film music on his website, www.jeffallengreenway.com. Welcome back to Song Talk Radio, Jeff.
Thank you very much.
Wow.
Yeah, it's been a while. Yeah, the previous episodes, you were here on July 19th, 2016. And September 1st, 2015 was your first time. It was three years ago.
It's been
almost to the day.
It's been a while, yeah. I'm really happy to be back, though. It's nice to see you guys again.
Oh, okay.
Thank you. Now, because you're conservatory trained, you know all about music theory.
At least more than
us.
Yeah, because I think we've all walked through the conservatory.
I've walked to the conservatory.
I had lunch there the other day.
Yeah, it's a very nice building.
So that's something. But other than that, we're...
So in one sentence, what's a mode?
Okay, so it's actually a little tricky to explain because there's a lot of different definitions for it, but the way I try to describe it is a mode is a scale that starts in a different degree of an existing scale, or you can think of it as an existing scale that has been altered somehow, by changing some of the notes in that scale.
Right.
What's the Latin derivation?
Modular?
Modus.
Well,
modus operandi.
Because I was reading about this because I started wondering, like, one question I wanted to ask is, originally keyboards were done in just tuning.
Mm-hmm. What does that mean, just tuning?
Just tuning is it's a kind of a very natural way of tuning a piano, so the intervals. But if you played in a different key, it would sound very different.
Yes.
And then the even temperedment I'm not sure what year that was, but that's when so that you could play a song in any key. And because of that, one of the thirds is lowered a bit.
Yeah.
They're a little bit off. So the question I asked originally, because Moogs were done before the invention of even temperament.
Yes.
Is that correct?
Yeah. They actually, from what I've read about it, they started in Greece around the year 400. And basically, there were a group of theorists that called themselves the harmonicists who tried
to organize. I saw them at
least
organize, great.
Yeah. they tried to organize a system of modes to use with the musical instruments of the time. And the scales in the modes were very different back then. So what we call, Ionian and Dorian, and we'll talk about the different modes a little bit later. They had the same names, but they were completely different. And the tunings were quite different back then. And scales were completely different as well. Scales would sometimes not end on the root. We commonly think if we're playing in major, often you end on the one chord, right? You end on the melody note of the one of the scale. Often in the older Greek scales, you would end on the fourth or the fifth. So it's a very, very different type of scale, very different tuning. And when they brought in equal temperament, they basically changed the whole sound of the modes, and they changed the names of them. So what we know as Dorian, for instance, now is not the same as what Dorian was in Greek times. And there was a time during the Renaissance as well where the churches sort of got involved and they created their own modes. There were modes for Gregorian chants and that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm. Quite a bit for that. The mode is an adaptation of a previously established scale.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Basically.
And those names are very similar to the styles of architecture. Like you can have a Doric column, an Ionian column. So it must have been regions of Greece or something, or lines of thought or whatever. Anyway, interesting.
Because in the Renaissance time, there actually were no black keys. At one point, there was no black keys on a piano.
Right.
It was just the seven keys.
Right.
And they actually just started with one black key.
Yeah,
for a while.
Even before equal temperament, if you had an instrument that had seven strings or seven frets or seven notes, you could still tune it to any heptatonic or pentatonic scale, which would introduce a different mode before you had 12 notes to choose from.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah, I'll have to say history is not my forte.
But
so how would it apply to our listeners who are currently writing songs on the piano or the guitar?
Well, that's where the equal temperament modes come in. So what I wanted to sort of talk about a bit today.
Great.
And what I was hoping I could do is kind of run through them and actually show some examples of songs that were written in those particular modes and how
ones
they sound.
Ones we would know and our listeners would know, you mean?
Hopefully. Some of them are a little bit older.
Maybe run through the scales.
Yeah, first. Absolutely.
Because I did see this video on YouTube this afternoon that the musician was explaining the emotional quality of each mode, that the major or Ionian, as we use it in most, a lot of contemporary music, tends to be happy. Mm-hmm. And then the minor or Aeolian is kind of sad. And then all the other shadings of different things, like the one that starts on the seven is used by heavy metal artists because it's really, really dark kind of thing, right?
Yeah.
And the major and the minor scale are actually modes themselves, right?
They are. And there's actually variations of the minor scale as well. So there's not just one minor.
That's right.
There's a natural minor and then harmonic.
And it was actually, even temperament was 1584.
Right.
So before that, pianos were done in just tuning.
If our listeners listen to that podcast, the film that you recommended, the 50 pieces of music in history by BBC, which is like a little 5-minute podcast, 50 different episodes, they talk exactly about when equal temperament sort of came into play.
Is it true that at a certain point the church banned sevenths?
They actually banned the tritone, which is the evil interval you hear in all the horror movies.
That's the devil.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
It is the devil's interval.
Okay,
yes, that was definitely banned. Everything had to be consonant. And actually, if you listen to, for instance, Gregorian chant, which is going back, to the Middle Ages, that was all open fifths and fourths, which to them was a very holy sound.
Yeah, it's because they're perfect.
Yeah, and I think that's where the name came from.
Yeah,
as well,
yeah,
the perfect
absolutely.
Intervals. Yeah.
Well, it's amazing because we never think about, you know, the invention of the third, but how magical the invention of the third was. And there's a composer whose music I love, but I just can't think of what it is offhand. His name, but he actually was the first one to really push the third.
Yeah.
And it was just a beautiful thing. And at the time, people were saying it just sounded like it was music from outer space because all you had was like fourths and fifths.
Mm-hmm. When would that be in history?
It was Thursday, I think.
Thursday.
No. It was, I wish I could remember his name.
We'll get back to it. Go ahead with your demonstration.
Sure, thanks. So what I'll do is I'll just run down the modes here so you guys can hear what they sound like, and your listeners can hear, and then I'll give some examples of songs in those modes. So the most common one, of course, is major. The technical name for it is Ionian. So Ionian is a natural major scale, which we're all familiar with, you know, probably 80% of songs out there are written in Ionian. if you take that exact same scale and you start on the second note of it, and you do the exact same notes, you get Dorian.
Right.
So Dorian is very similar to minor. The quality, if you listen to it, is a little bit more sad because it has the minor third in it. And then after that comes Phrygian, which is a very uncommon one. You don't hear this in a lot of pop music. You hear it in a lot of heavy metal, like Locrian, as Neil was saying. Not the most pleasant sounding scale. Mainly because of the minor second at the beginning of it, right? It makes it a little bit less palatable. And then there's Lydian, which is starting on the fourth. Which has a kind of a spacey sort of sound. The old Star Trek theme was in Lydian. That was Mixolydian. I'm getting my themes mixed up. And then there's Mixolydian, which is a little bit more common. It's basically like a major scale with a lowered seventh. And then Aeolian comes after that. This is starting on the sixth. And that's also called the natural minor scale. So that's where minor comes from. And then there's variations of that. There's harmonic minor, which is the one you have to play to death in real conservatory piano. And then melodic minor, the other one you have to play to death, which is usually raised going up and then lowered going down. So it sort of goes back to natural minor. And then the last one is generally considered the ugliest scale ever created, which is the Locrian.
And, why is that ugly? What would a chord just, be in
well,
that?
Again, well, yeah. That's your one chord.
Oh. Your chord is a diminished chord.
Right, so it's pretty devilish sounding. Mm. Used a lot in like heavy metal stuff, death
can
metal.
Can I ask a question? So you're saying like Mixolydian, the one chord in the Mixolydian. Mm-hmm. So you're still using the 1, 3, and 5 from that scale?
Basically, if you're a Mixolydian, in this case, I'm starting on G, right? Your one chord becomes G. Right? So if I'm playing in G Mixolydian, then I'm starting on G. I'm not starting on C, right? So that's sometimes there's some confusion over that. So if you're in a mode, you're actually that mode becomes your tonal center. So if it's G Mixolydian, then your song is based around G. It's going to come back to a G chord, basically, and not a C chord. Right, so if it comes back to
but
C
you're
chord,
use
it's basically
the,
major.
The chords from the C major scale.
Technically, it's the chords from the G Mixolydian scale.
Okay.
So I would play these chords.
So what would let's choose one of the more unusual modes. So what would it be like a 1, 4, 5 in one of those unusual modes?
Well, in Locrian, it becomes kind of difficult because the 5 chord is actually lowered, so it becomes a flat 5 chord. So basically, a 1, 4, 5 in Locrian is going to sound like this. Not the most pleasant sound.
Okay, I think I'm
like
to understand this.
You like it?
I do. I like those sort of darker tones and shades because they're more unusual, right? More emotional, actually, you know. So if you're writing a song that's got a lot of emotion in it, like an opera where they're going to be really pulling on the emotion, would you go to a darker scale like that? Or would just not
possibly,
so much?
Possibly. The other place that you hear a lot of these scales is in film music, to create a certain feeling, a certain
tension.
Exactly.
I remember once way back when I wrote an instrumental bed for a singer to sing along with, and it started. I don't know if it was in Locrian or not, but it started with a diminished chord, and I was asking the singer to come up with a melody and a lyric and stuff like that, and she was like, "I can't find a melody that kind of fits with this because it was so dissonant and unusual, right?" And she couldn't sort of place.
Did you bring recordings as well, or just?
I did. But maybe I can demonstrate a few.
Yeah, let's
have a demo
using a few cover songs.
Please,
first for a few of these, and then I do have some recordings in different modes as well. So I don't think we need to. Do we need to demonstrate major? I think everybody probably.
Yeah. Mary had a little lamb, little lamb, little lamb.
There we go.
There you go.
Major.
Okay. Major.
So, like I said, many pop songs are written in major.
Yeah.
So, very, very common. The other ones that are more commonly used in popular music are Dorian, Aeolian, and Mixolydian. So, Dorian has a little bit of a different sound, like I played before. Basically, it sounds a bit like minor. The big difference between Dorian and minor is...
Dorian starts from the second?
It does. You can actually... there's a way to take major scales and alter it starting from the same note, which I'll explain a little bit later as well. So it does technically start on the second degree of the major scale. So if I'm in C major, there's my C major, I'm starting on the 2, right? So I'm starting on D. So basically my scale, again, is like this. One example of a song in Dorian that a lot of people know is Scarborough Fair. So you might know this one. Are you going to Scarborough Fair? Parsley, sage, rosemary, and thyme.
So the Middle Ages feel,
right? So now,
ye olde English sound.
Yeah. So let's say the so those chords. What would those chords be in? Like, are you doing like? Is it like a 1-1-5-6 thing in that mode?
So basically, the chords in Scarborough Fair are the one chord, right? So D minor, and then it goes down to the 7, but the 7 is lowered. Because in Dorian you have a lowered 7th and a lowered 3rd compared to a major scale.
Now you say you mean flattened?
Yes, so it's a flat 7.
Right.
Think of it as a flat 7 chord. Right. So it'd be 1, flat 7, to 1, and then it goes to 3, back to 1, and then 4, back to 1.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
Right? And one of the big differences in Dorian is there's no major or dominant 5 chord. Right, so you normally think in, for instance, in minor, right? You have that major seventh, right? A major seventh chord. So Dorian doesn't have that. It actually has a minor 5 chord, right? So the 5 chord sort of becomes almost like all the other chords, right? It doesn't have any strong pull back towards the 1 chord.
Interesting,
right? So it has a very different sound. And Scarborough Fair was actually originally an old English folk song, right? Simon Garfunkel, of course, recorded it in the, was it 60s or 70s?
60s.
Right. That's why it reminds me of a folk song, because
it is a folk song.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. From way back.
Yes.
I mean, like, 1500s probably, or 1700s. I don't know.
Maybe old. Later than that.
Well, yeah, it's like one of those.
Oh, really? Oh. That far back?
Yeah. Yeah, it's one of those.
It's old with
ones.
An e on the end of the word old. That's how old it is.
Okay, oldie.
Oldie.
It's a golden oldie. And it's interesting there because we like in that context we usually think like in a major scale context you avoid the 7, like you say it was banned by the church and all the rest of it, right? Mm-hmm. But in Dorian the 7 is quite consonant.
Now we have to make sure that we're making a difference between a 7th, which is like the note, like you add a 7th to a chord to make it a bit jazzier.
Did I say 7? Or 7.
Versus a 7 chord.
Yeah, the 7 chord is what.
Which is the 7th chord.
Yes.
Which in the key of C would be B.
In the key of C major, naturally, it would be B diminished, which you would generally avoid that in pop music. But in D Dorian, it's C major, correct?
Yes. Yeah. So it becomes a major chord as opposed to a diminished chord, right?
Yes.
Which it would be in major.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's quite a different quality.
If you're listening at home, please take notes. This is going to be a test.
Yes.
Well, that's a great thing about podcasts. You can keep on listening to them over and over again.
So, next mode?
Yes, please.
Okay, so I decided to skip to Aeolian. So we're going to skip Phrygian for a minute, because Aeolian is one of the more common modes as well.
That's the minor, right?
And yeah, so that's generally minor. And there's different, like I mentioned, different types of minor. So you have natural minor, harmonic, and melodic. So here's an example of a natural minor piece by U2. I can't believe the news today. I can't close my eyes and make it go away. How long must we sing this song? How long? 'Cause tonight we can be as one tonight.
Right, so that's
U2.
Right, so
Sunday,
that's
Bloody Sunday.
Sunday, Bloody Sunday.
Right, so that's okay. So what? Now, what were the chords in that? It was an Aeolian.
Yeah, so this song's basically written in natural minor. It's a little bit ambiguous because it never goes to the five. There's no five chord in the whole song.
Okay.
So basically, the chords that they use are one, flat three, right? So or the regular third from minor, flat six, again the regular six from natural minor, and then it goes to the four minor. So it's basically one minor, three major, six major, four minor. And that's pretty much the whole song. At one point it goes to the three to the four.
And did Bono sing that in that key, or was it up a...
No, I had to lower it. So I can sing it. My voice is a little lower.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah, because I've always been kind of, you know, confused that people, you know, because I know a lot of the music that I've liked in the past, and I have, you know, composer friends, and I go, oh, well, apparently the Psychedelic Furs use modes a lot. And I said, oh, I love the, you know, Mirror Moves. And a guy said, oh, who's going through composing at U of T, was saying, oh, all their stuff is modes, man. It's so cool. And I went, oh, so I've known that I've, it's something I've wanted to work with, but I've never quite understood. Because you're saying it's a combination of the, it's not just the melody, it's mm-hmm. it's the chords,
it's the
and the melody
too, yeah.
Yeah, it's a combination of the melody and the harmony. You can actually have a song, like one example that I came across, which I thought was kind of interesting, is Greensleeves, which again is another really old English song. If you play the melody, technically it's in Dorian. It's a Dorian melody, and right. It has that very old English kind of sound to it. But the chords that they use actually have a lowered sixth chord, so which actually makes it minor. So sometimes the adding the harmony to it will actually change the key that the song is in, depending on the chords that you use.
Okay.
So it actually kind of goes back and forth. So the melody actually has the raised six sometimes, and then the chords have the lowered six.
I have a question. So the dude or the dudette, the lady or the man who wrote that like centuries ago, they weren't saying, I think I'll do it in Dorian. Right, they would just have a melody in their head, and they'd remember it, and then add the lute or whatever, and make a go of it. Now we're analyzing it after the fact. Is that?
Yeah,
it?
I think back then Dorian to them was probably like major is to us today, right? A lot of the
so through the oral tradition, they
traveling
hear somebody
musicians, hear that. The troubadours or whatever would just be used to singing a lot of songs.
Were they writing it down in those days?
That's a good question. I don't think so. I think a lot of it was by rote.
And actually, the it's interesting. The development of written music is very gradual. It's like they just started off with one line. Mm-hmm. And just, you know, did sort of rhythm and thing, and then they just sort of had one line, and then it would be sort of above and below. It's you know, we always think of this stuff as being sort of existing from time immortal, but actually, no, it started off like it took someone a while to figure out about grouping the black keys in threes and fives.
Yeah. And again, listen to that History of Music podcast from BBC, because that's exactly what they talk about, the development of all these things over the centuries.
Yeah,
it's really
quite
fascinating.
One bit in.
Yeah. Cool.
So can I play one more example of minor? So there's a piece I believe you guys have there called Alicia's Love, which is a film score piece that I wrote for a short film last year. And this is in natural minor.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, so that was a great tune. And so it's interesting. It actually sounded almost major towards the end, where you had the sort of the brighter tones coming in, I thought. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's it starts in minor, ends in minor. It goes a little bit longer than we were
Because we were talking about this before the show. It matters where your harmony is starting in your phrase and is ending. You know what I mean? Like if it starts in the minor and then kind of goes through these major chords, then it starts to sound a little bit more major and then resolves into minor, then you're in the minor key.
Yes.
Right? Like that's by definition, that's how it works, you know?
Yeah. I mean? Yeah, if you go back to one, which is the home chord.
Yeah, as long as you go back to the one, then that defines
what you're
in.
So when you're scoring a film, you get the shot, you get the scene, and then do you pick your mode based on the mood you want? Is that part of the palette for music, or just see where your fingers land on the keyboard?
Yeah, I tend to sort of play what I feel from the scene. In this case, it was kind of like a sad love scene, and it was more of an underscore because they were actually talking during the scene as well. So I didn't want it to be too busy, have too much of a melody going on. You have to look at what the emotion is of the scene, and in this case, because it was a bit sad, I decided to use minor.
Okay, and we're going to be right back after these important messages.
For those of you just joining us, you're listening to Song Talk Radio with Bruce, Neil, and Phil, streamed on songtalk.ca. And tonight we're talking all about musical modes with special guest Jeff Allen Greenway. Don't forget, we love to hear from you. So tweet in your thoughts to us at Song Talk Radio or via email at feedback@songtalk.ca. We'll share your thoughts here on the show. And you can find links to all the products, books, and web services we mention on the show on our resources page at songtalk.ca. Coming up on Song Talk Radio in the coming weeks, August 28th, singer-songwriter and multi-instrumentalist Richard Hunting. September 4th. September already? What happened? Singer-songwriter, harmonica virtuoso, Harpen Norm Lucien. Is that why it's called Harpen?
I suppose so.
And if you're in the Toronto area, please join us for our next songwriters meetup on Thursday, August 23rd, just 2 days away, from 7 to 10 at the Transac Club down there on, what's it called?
Brunswick, Bloor and Brunswick.
Brunswick, yeah. It's Bloor free Street to West. Join and free to attend. Stop by songtalk.ca for the link over to the Songwriters Meetup. Over to you, Phil.
Thanks very much. And of course, our definition today is modes.
Ah.
All right.
Groups into which notes were organized before the invention of scales, the introduction of which caused them to become outmoded. Thanks very much. We'll be here all week. So we got like so much. This is half over. We got so much to go.
Okay, so next mode. We've got Mixolydian, which is used quite a bit in pop music, and originally was used a lot in blues and jazz. And that's sort of it gives a pop song sort of a bit of a bluesy, jazzy sort of edge to it. Little example for Mixolydian. You guys might know this one. It goes like this.
So, right now, so Mixolydian, that's what starting scale from the, is that like the seventh or the fifth?
Yeah, so it starts on the fifth of the major scale.
Okay.
But you can also think of it as a major scale with a flat seven. So basically it has that dominant, very clear dominant sound to it. Right, so it's that seventh that really gives it sort of the edge.
Flat seven.
Yeah, and there's a lot of, you hear that especially in a lot of sort of 70s rock and that sort of thing.
Right.
Magic Carpet Ride.
Yeah, all the blues-based stuff.
Yeah, Sweet Home Alabama. Yeah.
Right. Because I always hear people say, you know, if you're soloing over like some chords, you should Mixolydian, you know, works, like the scale works really well on top of almost all.
Yeah.
That's what people have told me.
It gives it a bit more of a bluesy sound. Yeah. You can use it over major, you can use it over dominant, any dominant seven chords.
Right.
Works really, really well. And it really does give it a bit of a bluesy
sound. Yeah, they'll probably say that because most of the notes are the same as the major scale. It's just that one flat seven.
Flat seven,
which gives it that bluesy thing. So even if someone's playing the major chord underneath it and you play that flat seven, it'll just sound like the seven, seventh chord.
yeah, because in the major chord, usually very often your five has a flat seven in it, doesn't it?
The five chord? If you're in major, the five chord is a dominant seven.
Yeah.
Very good, Phil.
Thank you very much.
I think Neil has a song,
a
mixolydian.
Yeah, I wrote this song a couple years ago with a friend of mine, Sherry Archinov, called Winter Without You. And I suspected that I was in a mode. I wasn't sure. Like, I sort of started with the two chord, but Jeff just pointed out to me that because the verse sort of ends on what might be considered the one chord, it's actually in a major key in the verse. It's a major mode, but it doesn't start on the one. So that kind of shifts it at the beginning, but then by the time you resolve it, it becomes that. But the
musical home is sort of where we want to think, where it resolves.
Yeah, where it resolves to. But then as I go into the chorus, it's clearly in mixolydian. I think we agreed on that, Jeff.
You brought a recording of it?
I do have the recording of it.
Oh, great. All right. I guess we're going to hear that, aren't we? Oh, there's some lyrics, too. Okay.
New starts, but the seasons turned. You started counting backwards. When autumn fell, we broke apart. December blew in like disaster. Now all the summer birds have flown. I watch the sky start crumbling down now as I walk.
Yeah, so I don't know how you interpret that, but it's a bit of a twisted thing.
It's a nice song.
Winter Without You by Neil Modi and Sherry Archinov.
Yeah, Jeff, on Facebook, we were talking about the one of my favorite songs, Graceful Ghost Rag.
Oh.
Remember that?
Yeah.
Yeah, and which, I just like, because that always sounded very modal, but I wasn't really sure which mode it was.
Which rag?
Yeah, I actually
Graceful Ghost Rag.
Many years ago. I don't remember it too well now.
Who's it by?
I thought it was minor. That one was in minor, but I'd have to listen to it again.
Yeah, it was like a D sharp minor. He's saying it was very hard to play.
It's a very difficult key for piano.
Yeah, it's
a
very difficult
key. Most piano players curse at that song.
Favorite song.
But so what's the next one?
After Mixolydian, I thought we'd talk a little bit about Lydian, which is not a very common one, but you hear it a lot in film music. One example of a Lydian piece you guys might know.
So now where does this start from? Just
this one basically starts on the fourth of the major scale.
All right.
You can also, again, think of it as a major scale with an alteration. So in this case, a sharp four. Has a very, very distinctive sound compared to the major scale, but it's very close to major. So here's one piece you guys might know in Lydian.
Brilliant.
Beautiful.
So
that's
Mark
either
Mother's
the theme
Bob,
from
it?
The Peanuts cartoon, or it's
Danny Elfman.
Oh, was it Danny Elfman? Oh, yeah. Right.
It sounded like the guy who wrote the stuff for Peanuts a little bit. Remember that guy?
Yeah, Vince Guaraldi. Vince Guaraldi, and no, it doesn't.
No, okay,
well. That's got a bit of a jazzy feel.
Vince Guaraldi is a brilliant. Pick up all if you're a songwriter, pick up all his albums. He is jazzy and beautiful and emotive and
really?
Wanks. He's fantastic.
Mr. Guaraldi.
I have everything he's done.
I've got a question now, Jeff. You're a big film music fan. Mm-hmm. Danny Elfman. He uses that a lot, I think, doesn't he? Or at least he does use. He doesn't use major or minor so much.
His melodies tend to be very quirky, especially early Danny Elfman. If you listen to his stuff, a lot of it was based around diminished chords, and also Lydian, different modes.
Okay.
He's actually written some very traditional stuff as well. He's quite the chameleon. He does a lot of different styles.
Right. You have to be to write for film, don't you? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yes.
You can't have your own brand.
No. Yeah, true.
No. Right. So let's get back to the modes. So now, so how many more modes do we have to go?
There's a few more. Okay. So basically, the other ones are not as common. I brought a sample of Phrygian mode. Phrygian mode is not usually used in the exact same sequence of notes. Just
how
because.
How do you spell that?
Phrygian. Phrygian.
Yeah, I wouldn't have thought that.
Not
so
like
it's,
fridge.
It's Greek. Like the pH makes it like Greek. Like Pythagoreas. Not like that at all.
Right.
But I digress.
Right.
Anyways.
So anyway, a traditional Phrygian mode sounds like this. And it's okay, but you run into some problems with the harmony unless you change a few notes. And what's commonly used with Phrygian is they do what's called a Phrygian sharp 3 scale, which sounds like this.
Oh, right, which is
which
very
makes it sound a lot more Middle Eastern.
Yeah.
It's also commonly known as the mode 5 harmonic minor. Because if you actually take those same notes that I just played and you go down 5, you end up with an A harmonic minor scale. So it's basically a harmonic minor scale, but starting on the 5th note.
Oh,
okay.
So this is not commonly used so much in pop music. Tea Party wrote a few songs.
Right. Oh, yeah,
Sister
yeah.
Awake,
right.
If you know that song, that
great
has
song.
Some mode 5 melodic or harmonic
cool.
minor. Also Jefferson Airplane, White Rabbit.
Of course.
And I brought in a sample for you guys to listen to if you're interested,
right.
called Morocco Chase, which uses the mode 5. Morocco Chase.
Morocco Chase by John Greenway.
Very right. Cool. So that's what mode is that again?
So that's the mode 5 harmonic minor, or also the Phrygian sharp 3. So
right. And that's starting from the 4, from the 4 of the major scale.
It's the 3rd actually.
The 3rd
from the major scale, but with an alteration, like I said. So the 3rd note of that is sharp.
Is that the song that the guy uses with the little flute when he wants the cobra to dance?
Very similar.
Yeah. Yes.
Similar
like that. Right.
Yeah, it's got that Middle Eastern influence to it. It sounds very Middle Eastern. And you notice that too in the other songs, like Sister Awake by the Tea Party has that very, very strong Middle Eastern feel.
So
the Doors as well used.
What people could do, if you're just wanting to experiment this, is just using the white keys. Instead of going from C to C, just start from D to D and kind of play around with those, just to kind of give you a sense.
That's exactly how I wrote the bass music for it.
No black keys, is that the idea?
Well, it started out that way. I can't write a song without black keys.
Because there were no black keys at the time, right?
Well, originally, yes. Well, they didn't even have keyboard instruments, I don't think, back when they were first creating.
With string and wind.
Yeah, so it was done on, you know, lutes and flutes and that sort of thing.
All right, so the next one?
That's actually all the modes that I had. And the reason why, there is one more, which is Locrian. There actually aren't a lot of examples of Locrian out there.
Like Megadeth or Metallica or somebody?
Yeah, well, what they tend to do is they use the flat 2 sound from Locrian or from Phrygian, right? They almost sound the same. But what they do is they usually make an alteration to it. What they do is they take the fifth note and they'll move it up a semitone. Mm-hmm. So it's slightly different scale, but you hear this kind of stuff all the time in death metal, especially. That flat 2 kind of sound,
right?
So but louder.
But it's not technically in Locrian. They don't use all the notes from.
So let's say we have some songwriters out there, and they're thinking, okay, I'd like to experiment with modes. Do you have any sort of suggestions about how to get started? Because that's something I've sat there at a keyboard and gone from like you know the 2 to the 2, like you know from D to D, and you go okay.
Yeah.
Sounds YouTube? Like, are there YouTube videos on modes that are helpful?
I believe so. And there's a lot of resources out there as well. There's a lot of websites, theory websites, that sort of thing. One thing I thought was interesting when I was kind of looking at modes is just listening to songs that are in those modes and kind of hearing the difference in the sound and using that as sort of a starting point for the kind of writing that you want to do. I actually found a list as well of multiple songs that are in the different modes.
Okay, we'll put that on our website,
if you're interested.
Can you send that to us?
Sure.
Yeah so it's... so, like, let's say I wanted to... what's the mode that starts on the D?
Dorian.
Dorian. So if I wanted to play in Dorian, so I just, like, I'd start off on, like, a D... normally a D would have a... and a major key would have a flat, right?
Isn't it? Normally D has two sharps, so F sharp and C sharp.
Or flat, depending on how you look at it.
So, but if you're on piano, it's a little easier to kind of picture it when you play on piano.
Yeah, that's what
because,
I'm saying.
Yeah, if you start with C major, for example, and you go to the different modes in C major, everything's white keys.
Yeah.
So it makes it a lot easier to kind of figure out. It's a little bit trickier on guitar or some
but
other
things. So if you're going to start off, let's say, with a D as the first chord, it wouldn't be a D that includes the sharp.
No, so it'd be D minor.
It would be a D minor, right.
Yeah, so it's actually the exact same chords as C major, but the difference would be the tonality and the home key. So basically, if I was to write a melody, you know, in C major, it would be something like this. Yeah. It's going back to that one. If I was to do that in Dorian, if I was to make a little melody, it has to go back to the D. It has to be sort of centered around the D. So something like...
Right, and right, so you're still just hitting all the white keys, right? You're not hitting any of the accidents.
But again, it matters where you're beginning and where you're ending your phrase.
Yeah, and the other thing is you can change any key into Dorian. There's two different ways of thinking of modes, and this is what I had mentioned before, too, that I was going to get to. You can take a major key, if you know any major key, and it can be anything, E major, F major, C major, whatever you're comfortable playing in, just by altering certain notes, you can change it into a mode. So you don't even have to think in relation to a major major sort of home scale. Instead, if I take C major, for example, there's my C major. If I just do a flat 3 and a flat 7 in that scale, so I take the third note, I lower it a semitone, and the seventh note, I lower it a semitone, I now have C Dorian.
Okay.
Beautiful.
Yep. And then if I just add a flat 6 to that now I have Aeolian. So that would be natural minor, basically. Mm-hmm. Right? Okay. Some of the other ones are a little trickier when you get into like Locrian, you have to make almost everything flat.
Yeah,
it's weird. Right? Mm-hmm. But those ones are fairly easy to change. Same with Lydian. Lydian, you take a major scale, you just add a sharp 4.
Okay.
Which is kind of an interesting sound.
I don't know if it's easier for a guitarist to think in terms, like when you think of a major scale, it's like, the difference between tones and semitones, like the major scale is like tone, semitone, tone, semitone, tone.
Yeah, I think, tone. Well, like
But some of these other modes are just different variations on the on the sequence of, is it the next note, is it a semitone away or is it a tone away? You know what I mean?
I think of frets.
Actually, yeah, and frets are semitones. So,
right.
Yeah.
Jeff, I have a question for you. Could we, like if we wanted to create a mode, I'm being a bit silly here, but if we want to invent a new mode, like I came up with a platonic mode, which is the friendly mode, could we take, could we invent one and then it would be entered into the musical lexicon, like, or are they all taken?
I think pretty much everything's been done if you look at the music theory behind it.
Okay.
Technically, you can create your own scales, right? And you find that in jazz, especially if you study jazz. There's things like the altered scale and the half-tone, whole-tone scale and the whole-tone, half-tone scale.
Yeah.
There's millions of scales out there, especially for improvisation.
But just for fun right now, let's improv something. So if I'm going to say that I want a scene, and it's platonic, I mean, it's friendship love, and these two people are having a conversation. So what would you naturally choose in terms of a mode? If you're like, if it wasn't major, but platonic love, what mode? Just throw your hands on the piano and see where it lands.
Probably I'd do major or maybe Lydian.
Okay, likewise.
So in Lydian is on what, the from, was that the fourth?
So what I'm doing is, right now, I'm doing a major scale with a sharp four. So I'm doing C major with a F sharp.
Making it Lydian.
But yeah, if I did it based on the C major scale, it would be starting on an F.
Is the sharp four in the bass as well?
What I was doing is I was doing a pedal bass. So I basically did C and then a D major chord over C. But I could do it either way. I could go...
And that's the sharp four in the bass.
The C. It's the sharp four is in the melody and in the harmony. So when I go to that second chord,
right,
that's a D major chord, basically. So I'm doing a two chord with a major.
If you're in that mode, then what's the four chord?
That's a good question. So technically, the four chord would be diminished.
It would be diminished,
which is pretty ugly. So most people, if you're composing a Lydian, you kind of stay away from that chord.
Okay.
You usually would use the two chord instead.
Would you say that if our listeners are going to go, say they're a young person and they're studying music, and they say, well, one day I'd like to write film music, would you suggest that they need to know these modes in order to be versatile in their writing? Is that what it gives you?
I think so. You know, the more you know when you're composing, especially for film, the more colors it gives you to work with, you know, the more colors on your palette. I'm lucky because I've had both jazz and classical training. In classical training, they don't really get into the modes that much unless you go to like a little higher level. But in jazz, it starts from day one. You have to learn the modes because they're involved in improvisation. You know, if you're interested in modes, jazz is the way to go because you really, really learn.
But doesn't it show up all over the place in classical music as well?
It does, but you don't really start studying it in depth until you get to like higher level harmony and writing.
Because that would be, or if you get really into old, like if you go into Baroque music, that would be a lot of modal music, wouldn't it?
There is a lot of modal music there too. So it kind of depends what you study, but you know, if you really are interested in modes, I would say, you know, try to look into jazz because you learn a lot.
But if you went to Mozart, say, was Mozart using modes?
I wouldn't say so. I think it was more traditional major and minor.
Because it was church music.
Mm-hmm.
Is that probably why?
Yeah.
Didn't want any of that evil sounding stuff.
Yeah, well, and I think the modes were thought of as outdated.
Pretty consonant and kind of happy, right? Like he's kind of poppy.
Right.
And the thing we always have to remember is like composers were not doing classical music. They weren't doing old music when they were doing it.
Yeah,
it was
they
modern.
Were doing pop music. They were doing like they were stars. They were rock stars. They had groupies. Mm-hmm. They slept with people. I mean, they were doing modern stuff. No, they were doing modern stuff, and people thought they were insane, and they thought they were doing drugs because they were doing like this new modern stuff. They weren't playing
so
classical
500
music.
500 years from now, Keith Richards will be like
still alive.
Still alive.
They'll make him cryogenic. They'll freeze him.
What's cryogenic?
They freeze him.
Okay.
Yeah, and that'll be, and Johnny Depp, they'll do the same thing. They'll be in the same capsule.
We'll have to have the cryogenic scale.
Right.
Maybe they'll just freeze his head.
So where would you recommend that our listeners go for more on modes? Can they come to your website to find out about modes, or
a blog post?
Blogs?
I don't actually have a lot about it, but there's some good websites online.
There's a ton of YouTube videos.
Yeah, lots of YouTube videos. Open Theory is a good website that's got a lot of information.
OpenTheory.com?
Yeah, it has a lot of free musical theory information.
I wonder if Hook Theory would have anything, because Hook Theory really delves into dissecting pop music, like really pop, very poppy music. Mm-hmm. So if it shows up in mainstream top 40 sort of stuff, then Hook Theory will probably discuss it.
Well, I certainly know with guitar solos, they're always talking about various modes that you play on top of different chords. Mm-hmm. Modal melodies. As a dumb punk rock guitar, I just play riffs, right? So you just get a bunch of different riffs and kind of go, oh, I did this riff over here, I did this one. Oh, it sounds okay, I do that again.
Right.
That's basically what most rock people do. So it is really cool, because I know certainly lots of the music I like, people have mentioned that it's
surely more of a jazz thing. Like, I'm sure Sean Bertram knows about this stuff.
Yeah, always studying jazz at Humber.
Yeah.
Jazz guitar, so that would be, that's where you get your scales for improv scales, right? You have to go into the modes.
Yeah, for sure. You have to know.
Can you play us a few jazz scales just so we hear what it sounds like?
Sure. Yeah.
Dance, monkey, dance.
A couple of common ones.
If you will.
A couple of common ones that you hear a lot in jazz. Lydian with a flat 7, right? So if you're on a dominant chord, for instance, gives it a little different sound. You've got the altered scale. And again, that's really nice over a dominant chord. Gives it a little,
little
bit of almost like Phrygian or Locrian, but a little bit more tasteful.
Right.
Those are a couple of the main ones. And there's also the half tone whole tone scale and the whole tone half tone scale, which again is also used. Let's see if I can get this right. I always mix that one up with the altered scale. They're almost exactly the same. So those again are very common jazz scales, and there's lots of other ones out there too. What they also tend to do is they tend to play scales starting on and ending on different notes. So for instance, that mode 5 harmonic minor I was mentioning, they'll also do that over top of dominant chords. Again, giving it a little different sound. It's got a flat 9 in there and that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So modes are quite commonly used as well.
So is that what you just demonstrated there, the sort of thing that Phil's talking about? Like there's just sort of conventional chords going on underneath, and then you're soloing in a different mode than what the harmony's doing on the bottom end?
Exactly, yeah. Like you can have one chord, especially with dominant chords, and there can be like 16 different scales or modes that you can play on top of that, depending on the kind of sound.
There's the modal band.
We'll have to get to those 16 different scales next time.
What a great show, man. My brain
so
buzzing right now.
Yeah.
Thank you.
That was very informative. Ooh, so that is all the time we have tonight. Song Talk Radio with Bruce, Neil, and Phil. Special thank you to our special guest, Jeff Allen
Greenway. Thank you, sir, man. You are amazing.
Thank you.
Big musical
brain. Dr. Mode.
Yeah, once again, please find Jeff's latest music for film TV on his website, jeffallengreenway.com, correct?
Yes.
And please send us your impressions via Twitter at Song Talk Radio, via email, feedback@songtalk.ca, Facebook and YouTube at Song Talk Radio. Stop by the good old website, songtalk.ca. There you can subscribe to the Song Talk Radio podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, or Stitcher.com. And don't forget to sign up for our free newsletter on the website. You can also find links to all the products, books, and web services we mentioned on Song Talk Radio on our resources page, songtalk.ca. We should have a book on Amazon that deals with modes, no?
Yeah, I think we'll add one this week.
And if you're in the Toronto area, please join us. Our next Songwriters Meetup is on Thursday, August the 23rd, from 7 to 10 p.m. at the Transat Club. Our friend Eric Sorensen is going to be hosting that one.
Yep.
So it'll be fun. Free to join on meetup.com, free to attend. Stop by songtalk.ca for the link. Thank you to Vanessa Vreeland, handling all the social media.
Thank you, Vanessa.
Thank you for Michael Proudfoot for his valiant efforts on the soundboard.
Working hard today, Mr.
And
Michael.
Most of all, we'd like to thank you, the home listener, even if you're not at home. You can follow me, neilmodi.com. Bruce.
BruceHarrett.com.
Mr. Phil Emery.
Follow me at The Phil Emery on Twitter.
Follow Vanessa Vreeland.
At Sunny_Vanessa.
On Twitter.
It's a lot of S's. And Michael, are we following you, Michael? Or are we
Quit following me, Michael.
And Jeff's got, you got a Twitter, don't you?
Yes. Yeah, Jeff Allen Green, because the way wouldn't fit in.
They wouldn't let you have it your way.
No,
okay, please stop by the website, songtalk.ca, to browse past shows, find out you can be a guest on the show. Keep on writing.
Good night, everyone.
Bye.